Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast is your one-stop shop for fantasy football news and advice. Can't decide on who to draft on the first round? Going gaga on how to line up your team? Got you covered. Traditional leagues, dynasty leagues, PPR leagues, IDP leagues, even daily fantasy football leagues. Join us as we break down all the questions of fantasy football. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, as always, Jeff Malinoff. And boy, we got some on the agenda today, mainly Steeler topics. Well, players that are going to be former Steelers. But regardless, they're huge draft prospects when it comes down to it. So we are looking at Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. What are their best destinations for your draft stock? And are they going to rise? Are they going to fall with certain teams? What's the best and what are the worst destinations for them? Because we got to figure out what's going to happen when they sign with those teams. Are they going to be that first pick for you? Or are they going to be that last pick for you? Well, not legitimately last, but they're going to be not as crucial as they used to be when they were with the Steelers. You get what I'm saying. You get it. And then we'll also talk about anything else. We'll talk about if Rosen is better with Josh Rosen will be a better draft prospect with another offense. If he does get bumped for Kyler Murray, which is sounds like it might actually happen. I mean, you're hearing so much of this. And then we'll also look at Kyler Murray himself as well, compare him to Dwayne Haskins and maybe even Drew Lock or Daniel Jones. And we'll see how they rank up when it comes down to their draft stock. Not just in the NFL draft, but the fantasy football draft. And if you will you draft them in your draft in your fantasy as a backup, maybe even your starter? We'll find out. But first things first, we got to talk about those Steelers. We'll start with Le'Veon Bell because he's the most, well, he's the free agent. So we got to talk about what places he's favorite to go to, and that's going to be the Jets. That's the most favorite place for him to go to. And with how they ran the ball with Coel and Powell and those guys not being the best of running backs. I mean, one of them did get a 200-yard rushing game, so they get the job done sometimes there. So if he does end up in New York with the Jets, does he still become that top three, top five pick? Because he did drop down in stock just because of the fact that he did miss a whole season. I think we got to talk about that's a very crucial thing that needs to be discussed. And the fact of the matter is, when it comes down to him being with the Jets, that might possibly be the best suit for him. But with their new head coach, Adam Gase, it is unknown what he wants out of his players. If they do get Bell, would they be giving him the ball consistently? Will they be giving him the ball at a pace they want him to? And it all comes down to the facts that how were the Dolphins last year in rushing? And they weren't that good. Because, well, they had Frank Gore and they had some other players, but they didn't have a guy like Le'Veon Bell. And the combined rushing yards the Dolphins had in 2018 was 1738. That's about the same as if Le'Veon Bell ran the ball himself. This is total combined stats. Frank Gore had 722 yards in 14 games. Kenyon Drake had 535 yards on 16 games played. The yards per game were 33 and 51, respectively. 4 rushing touchdowns for Drake, 0 for Frank Gore. Those were their top two running backs. So with that being shown, there is still some serious concern with this team. Well, that's the Dolphins. We're moving on from the Dolphins. We're moving to the Jets. And if Bell goes to the Jets, will Adam Gase frequently use the running game more than he did in Miami? I would say yes. Will he be the focal point in New York? I'm not exactly sure, because they have Sam Darnold, who they want to get better, which I'm assuming they want to pass the ball frequently to get him more experience under center and all this other stuff than just handing the ball off to Le'Veon Bell. So he might lose some carries there in that sense of just just having Darnold throw the ball because they drafted him so high. And also the facts that just, is he fit with the Jets in it at all? Well, he does have that way of personality type where it would fit in New York in theory. But we really don't know what the situation will hold when it comes down to his contract. The thing is, the Jets have the money to buy him. They have plenty of money. And so you're not going to waste that money to not give him the ball 20, 25 times a game. I think that's a fair assumption. So with that being said, what would be the worst place for Le'Veon Bell? Because it sounds like if the Jets are the front runners, it might be that that's the best place for him. Maybe financially, obviously. Maybe they'll put their whole scheme around him based on the financial loss they would do. Well, maybe not financial loss. The money they would have to pay Le'Veon Bell to come to the Jets. But then there's also, like, the Raiders, who love a guy like that, a power. He can do the power back kind of thing, but also can get some speed in him. So John Gruden can use him very wisely if he has him available to, that is. So now we look at his worst possible destinations. And I remember saying that a good place for him to go, or a likely place for him to go, is Indianapolis. And I said that because they have the highest cap space of over $100 million in cap space. But with how Marlon Mack played this year, he will have to split carries with Marlon Mack, because you're not going to let Marlon Mack just sit on the sidelines because you know he's a talented player and you know he can get the job done on the running game when you need him to. He's a very reliable running back, a very talented running back with a very bright future ahead of him. So with that, and Le'Veon Bell wanting to be the number one back, obviously. I think that's a given of what he wants. I am going to say, with the fact that, you know, Le'Veon will not take half carries. So if he does go to Indianapolis for the money, because they can afford that $80 million contract he wants, or whatever much money he wants, $15 to $20 million a year, however it goes, Le'Veon Bell will not be getting the numbers he would be getting in the last previous years because of the fact Marlon Mack is there. The only reason I say the worst possible destination that's a possible destination for Le'Veon Bell is the Colts is because how good Marlon Mack's been playing. It's not just because, oh, that team's terrible. That team's destined for playoffs. That team's destined for success. The Colts are, at least. So it's all about how talented the running back game already is. And with Marlon Mack going to be already taking most of those carries, he's not going to give up that many carries to Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell's going to have his carry holds to help out with Marlon Mack. And I'm not saying he's not going to have bad games. Him and Marlon Mack together will be absolutely dominant. Possibly dominant. I'm not going to say without question, because I don't like that. I think that would stick a foot in my mouth after that if that actually does happen and they don't become successful. But when it comes down to it, Le'Veon Bell will not be getting those numbers he would be getting in Pittsburgh if he goes to Indianapolis. He will be getting them if he goes to the Jets, because they're not going to get Powell that equal amount of carries if he's still there. Same with Cowell. So with that, Le'Veon Bell's the guy there. He's the face of that team, him and Sam Darnold, that is. So that gives him an advantage there in that market, as well as that many carries. And then you also are looking at Indianapolis quarterback Andrew Luck, who is coming off a comeback player of the year. He played amazing. He helped the team get to the playoffs and all this. So they're going to pass the ball a lot more too. He is a dual threat back, and where he can catch the ball and run for 1,000 as well as rush and as well as catch for 1,000. But he's not going to take half of snaps. He's going to be in a position on a team where he's going to take up 90% of those snaps or 90% of those carries or however you want to put it, because he's that kind of player. And so another place where I think might be worse off for him, I already said the two best. I said the Jets and the Raiders would probably be the two best options for Le'Veon Bell. And Indianapolis is probably one of the worst situations for him just based off the talent they have on that team, and he would probably have to replace or take less snaps and all that kind of thing, like I said. So with that, the next worst destination, I guess you can say, he was saying this. I'm not sure if this is true, but I think he was considering Miami. Like, he was down there in Miami, and I think he wouldn't be opposed to having a team there, you know, just because of the fact he was basically down there most of the time he was supposed to be in Pittsburgh. So we'll just say Miami's an option. That would be disastrous because one thing's for certain there. They are tanking. They are in rebuild mode. They are in, we are not going to win the next couple of years, and it's just a fact. That's what the front office says. Obviously, the team's going to try. But regardless, this is a project now. They're starting a new project. They're starting a rebuild mode, as if they weren't already rebuilding. But they're taking time to be out of the playoffs, to build a better team, to get back into the playoffs. That's what rebuilding is all about. Basically, I just said the definition of rebuilding. Shocker. But with that, I say also, Le'Veon Bell should not be in that situation, because in order to lose games, you cannot give the ball to Le'Veon, and he will not be getting the ball as frequently, or he'll be getting the ball too frequently and risk injury because he'd be pushed so hard. And, of course, the Dolphins team is just bad. If what they're planning is true, if what the rumors of them planning is true, then he's definitely not going to be doing well in Miami, because they're probably going to be doomed for failure. So with that being said, I stand by what I say of Indianapolis and Miami being the two possible worst destinations for him, and the two best destinations for Le'Veon Bell is the Raiders and the Jets. But we are going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be talking about Antonio Brown and his best and worst destinations. I'll be right on that when we return.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Just finished up with the Le'Veon Bell talk. Now, let's get into Antonio Brown. But real quick about Le'Veon Bell, if he does go to the Raiders or the Jets, I say he's a top five pick. If he goes to anywhere else, I say he's a bottom 10 pick. I just think that's just what the case will be in the long run. So moving on to Antonio Brown and his future. So there are three teams that said they were invested in him. The reports were yesterday that it was the Broncos, the Cardinals, and the Raiders. I'll start from there. The Raiders are a running team. They love to pound the rock. That's what John Gruden loves to do. That's his infamous, like, he's just a power runner type guy. And so with that, I feel like there's going to be just a lot of disappointment when it comes down to that if he goes to Oakland, because I think they'll try too hard to put him in the offensive scheme that they have, and it just wouldn't work out in the long run. I just feel like that would just their offense is mainly known for their running. Well, their coach is mainly known for loving to run the ball. So getting a big deep threat like that, they might not use him as frequently as most others would. Or they will, like I said with Le'Veon, they will try to overuse him and try to use him every single time and throw the ball deep to a point where he will be injured, or he will be just exhausted and not be able to play as many downs. So with that being said, then you look at the Arizona Cardinals, the other reported optional team from yesterday. That is a failure waiting to happen, and I'll tell you why. Not because of, like, if they draft Kyler Murray, he's too young, blah, 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 or he's, like, not ready. If they do it and keep Josh Rosen doesn't throw the ball deep. He doesn't have that huge can of an arm that you need with an Antonio Brown-like person because of the fact that Antonio Brown is all speed. He's super fast, and he can catch the ball deep. He's a deep threat. No question about it. Deep threat superstar, if you will. And if you throw it deep somewhere near to him, he will most likely catch it because he's that talented. So getting rid of that deep ball to Antonio Brown is taking away his best thing. You're giving him kryptonite rather than the solar power from the sun. That's a Superman reference for you nerds out there just like me. So there is a lose-lose. There's a lose-win situation here. Lose as in you have Antonio Brown, which is the win, but losing, you don't use him to his full advantage because of the fact that you are now having to use him in the short throw game, and that's not where his specialty lies. So now if they do, like, draft Kyler Murray, the Cardinals never trade a first. The Cardinals will trade a next year's second and Josh Rosen for Antonio Brown, then that might work in a sense where they have now Kyler Murray instead of Josh Rosen or Dwayne Haskins, whoever you want. And now they have a deep threat now. They have a guy that can throw the ball deep. They got a guy that can run around the pocket and give him time to really go up the field and make a play. So that is also a possibility. And then you look at the Broncos. Right now, they just traded for Joe Flacco. Truth be told, I have no idea why. I think people are still trying to figure out why on earth did you trade for Joe Flacco. I think it was completely unnecessary. I think it was a waste of a trade. I think it was too low reward, high risk type of situation where you might be just destined to fail this. But, you know, I hope they can prove me wrong in all honesty. But regardless, I think it's one of those things where you're looking at it in a perspective of what you've seen in the past. And what you've seen in the past is not the best kind of situation you want to be in. Trading for an old veteran quarterback and thinking he's going to be the one that solve all your problems, but in reality, he's lost the juice to really perform, and now you're stuck with a huge contract of Nick Foles. Well, they could have gone Nick Foles, but they went with Joe Flacco, so that might come back to bite him in the butt, to be honest with you, in the future. But it's one of those things where you're looking at it from a from this perspective of the past has shown that trading for an old veteran quarterback has worked very, very, very rarely. Usually it's to finish off their career on a high note of a, with an okay team, and it just doesn't seem to be working out that way for Joe Flacco. I think he's going to finish very disappointingly, to be completely honest with you. So if they get if they were serious in drafting Antonio Brown, I think that would be a huge mistake, but they have said they're not, which is probably the best news Antonio Brown can hear all day. Is he will not be a Bronco. Nothing against the Bronco fan base. I'm just saying with the poor quarterback in Joe Flacco that you traded for. I'm not saying that he's just bad. He's not elite. Everyone claims he was elite after that Super Bowl run he had, but I've never considered him elite. That's not what he is. He's a deep throwback, no doubt about it, but he just doesn't have all the tools that the Broncos thought he... I just really don't know what the Broncos were thinking exactly. But that's the thing with, like, legendary players that become executives and front office guys. Like, for example, Michael Jordan, one of the greatest NBA players of all time, runs the front office for the Charlotte Hornets and even helped out the Washington Wizards a little bit when he came back with them. He's the one that drafted Kwame Brown, one of the worst draft busts of all time. And so he has a history of doing bad, poor decisions, and that's why the Charlotte Hornets have never been quite successful with him, or the Charlotte Bobcats, for that matter. They had one of the worst records of all time after a lockout, and they had less than 10 wins in one season. So that shows the poorness of his whole entire team, and it's his entire rung as a front office guy, because he's never made the right decision. And then you look at John Elway. He drafted Tim Tebow. Josh Daniels drafted Tim Tebow, but he allowed it. He just doesn't really. If he wasn't for Peyton Manning deciding to come to Denver, he would already be relieved of duties by now. He would not be involved in front office decisions with the Denver Broncos anymore if it wasn't for Peyton Manning and the run they had with him and to get him out of the fire. But now with him gone, he has been exposed. Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, these tall 6'3", 6'6", well, Paxton Lynch is actually 6'8", quarterbacks, they think are the future of this league, but in reality, the shorter, more athletic, not run first, but more can get out of the pocket and make a play type of quarterback is what's taking over the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, who else is there? Wow, I can't believe I'm blanking already. Baker Mayfield can even run out of the pocket and make plays. And you also look at, like, I don't know, Carson Wentz sometimes can scramble, but he's more of a pocket passer himself. More or less, it's a mix of speed guys that can get out of the pocket and make plays and pocket passers. But Joe Flacco is not a very good pocket passer. I just hate to say it. He's just not that good. He doesn't have what it takes anymore, honestly, is my opinion. But they're stuck with his contract now. And it's just a shame. That's just the bottom line. It's just a shame that it came down to this, and now Joe Flacco's going to be looked at a huge trade bust. And we will, and then it will be considered like, why did you make this trade? That's my prediction of what this is going to happen, is why did you make this trade? Why did you make this happen? What did you see in Flacco? Because no one else saw anything in Flacco. He got benched for Lamar Jackson, who can't throw the football very well, but he can run like no one else, and he ran like 30 times a game in his short stint as the Ravens quarterback. So there's some serious concern when it looked at, like, Lamar Jackson cannot play like that anymore. And speaking of a quarterback that you don't want on your fantasy team, that is a perfect example of a guy you don't want on your fantasy team. And I'm bringing this all up because, like, Joe Flacco is not a guy you would draft in the first round. Or second or third. He's not the first quarterback you'd take. Lamar Jackson is not the first quarterback you'd take. Antonio Brown can't do much with that kind of quarterback, and he won't be drafted the first round. Maybe second. I can even see him dropping down to third, depending on the team he goes to. And with that, I say, like, the Raiders, he might, like, because how bad the Raiders have been, he might be looked at as like, okay, third round, second round pick, instead of like, oh, he's the first wide receiver to be taken. And then you look at the terms of if he goes to, let's say, let's just use the 49ers as an example, because that was like the big thing. And he was like, he even posted an Instagram picture of him in a 49ers jersey, photoshopped, talking to Jerry Rice. So I'll just use this as an example. Kyle Shanahan is one of the greatest offensive minds in football right now. Maybe the best. Sean McVay's up there too. So it's a dead heat. If anyone knows how to use every player to their best, and you look at when Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons, he made Matt Ryan an MVP quarterback and made Julio Jones look borderline unstoppable. It also helped that Julio Jones was borderline unstoppable regardless, but he put him into better positions to make humongous plays and be a better player than he already was, which was already a GOAT level in the, well, maybe not greatest of all time, but he's the best wide receiver in today's game at that time. You could say he's lost a little bit after losing Shanahan, which is understandable just based off play calling and schemes and such. But regardless, I think it comes back to the point that Julio Jones is a tough fight back, and Kyle Shanahan used him to absolute perfection. So with that, if he has Antonio Brown and he has Jimmy Garoppolo and he made Marquise Goodwin look like a great wide receiver, he's still a pretty tall wide receiver, no doubt about it, like Marquise Goodwin is, but he put him to another level of how talented he is because of the offense Kyle Shanahan ran. So if Antonio Brown's in that kind of offense where he's going to utilize everyone to their full potential, Garoppolo to Antonio Brown might be the best wide receiver quarterback combination in the NFL, arguably. So with that being said, if you're a fantasy football owner, you might want him to go to the Niners because offensively they have a great offensive mind and they know he knows how to make everybody live up to their full potential, if not more. But it doesn't sound like he's going there because there's no talks for the 49ers and the Steelers about that. But the three reports about the Raiders, the Cardinals, and the Broncos being announced as the three teams that first called is not true. So, and this is reportedly who actually came up with, who actually were three that called. The Raiders are still there, but it's also the Titans and the Redskins. So let's look at both the Titans and the Redskins. The Titans have Marcus Mariota, who's on his last legs with the team, and so he needs to make an impact sooner rather than later in order to be the guy there, to continue being the guy there. And with Antonio Brown, he can be the guy. Because if he can't, because the Titans were last in touchdowns by wide receivers last season. If Marcus Mariota cannot get it done throwing touchdown passes to Antonio frickin' Brown, he's good as dead, like career-wise, and starting job-wise, it's over. Because, and if Antonio Brown does go to the Titans, let's just say he does, and Marcus Mariota's stock goes up. His stock goes up because now he has an elite wide receiver he's throwing the ball to, which gives him more points, so it's a win-win when it comes down to Marcus Mariota, future owners, or current owners, who knows, based off those drafts where you hold on to players. I'm forgetting the name. I'm blanking on the name at the moment. Pardon me. But holdover drafts or something like that. I'll figure it out later. And then you have Antonio Brown owners who are most likely he might be considered second round pick because the Titans are a big question mark when it comes to wide receivers and touchdowns. But I think it's a good investment to get Antonio Brown in that second or third round if he's still available, because of the fact that Marcus Mariota might be giving him the ball way more often than not. And I know they have Derrick Henry and I know they have Deion Lewis, but the fact of the matter is I don't think Mariota likes throwing the ball to his running backs. He doesn't really look at his running backs, to be completely honest. He looks for deep downfield stuff, and who's better than deep downfield stuff than Antonio Brown? So I think Antonio Brown might fit perfectly with how comfortable it would be for Marcus Mariota throwing the football. But, again, that leaves a lot of unanswered questions based off of the fact that it's just it's the Titans, and they don't really have this. Like, Marcus Mariota still has a lot to prove to be that kind of quarterback to earn the right to be throwing to that kind of caliber of a player. But we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about each of the rookie quarterbacks and see what is their potential in draft stock and what they can do in their first season in the NFL if they start. We'll be right back right after this.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA, from the UFC to extreme cage fighting. They got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast, finishing up the day here with our rookie quarterbacks and what their stock value is going to be going into this next season after where their draft stock will be. So going into what the at post-combine mock draft has, basically what we got here is something interesting. I had my preview about who's going to be drafted and whatnot. I had the Jaguars like taking Kyler Murray and all the, or Kyler Murray with the fifth pick trading upwards. But the mock draft for this year post combine, thanks to Bleacher Report, has a different story. Matt Miller's mock draft, one of those trustful ones. The pick, the number one pick in the 2019 NFL draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray, quarterback, Oklahoma. So with his height now being 5'10", this is all, and he during that time, like after the draft, he found out 5'10" and all that stuff. This is what Matt Miller says. Throughout the week in Indianapolis, I didn't run into one agent, scout, coach, or general manager who thought anyone but Kyler Murray would be the top overall pick. That is damning evidence, first of all, because not too long ago, this was the Nick Bosa sweepstakes. This was all about Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa this, Nick Bosa that. He was going to be the first overall pick. It's a done deal. You're fighting for Nick Bosa. That was the formality. That's what was destined. But now, we have the official height. That's the huge thing to this. The height of Kyler Murray is above 5'9", which gives him an opportunity to be the number one overall pick. And it sounds like it's almost a foregone conclusion. Sounds like they're really setting this up. And if he does, let's just go right now. He's going to Arizona. He's going to have a veteran in Larry Fitzgerald at wide receiver. And he's also going to have just maybe somehow, he's going to have a rough offensive line too. That's my only concern with it. But as the first overall pick with a weak team in the Arizona Cardinals, besides having a very talented wide receiver still in Larry Fitzgerald, I will say his stock will be his highest drafted in the, with the highest round drafted he would be, will be the fifth round. Yes, the fifth round is the highest I can see Kyler Murray going if he does go to the Arizona Cardinals. And this is kind of how the world works now. It's not just because, like, oh, he's on a weak team. Quarterbacks aren't drafted highly anymore. They should not be drafted highly anymore. I mean, we talked to Mark when he was on the podcast back then, and he said he hasn't drafted one till late. And I've seen a lot of guys who've won fantasy football drafts do that until it's late. And I get what he means, and I get that because of the fact that those guys will give you points regardless. But the guys that will give you the most points are your receivers, are your running backs, and that should be your running back should be your first pick for sure. So with that, fifth round pick sounds like the earliest, maybe a little earlier, maybe fourth, that people will go for a quarterback. And I don't see Kyler Murray being one of the top five or top 10 quarterbacks taken in this draft. I honestly see him as a backup for most fantasy owners. I'm not going to lie to you. That's where I think it is. And if he does become a starter for a team, that is, I will see it as they drafted him dead last. Maybe not dead last, but he will be like one of the last players taken for a team because they just need a quarterback. You know? So it will be like, okay, I'm running out of picks. I need a quarterback to start. I got a good setup around him. He doesn't need to be super, like, he doesn't need 25 to 30 points a game, but I just need him to get like 15 a game. 12 to 15 a game would do. That's what he's asking. That's what you're asking for. Then you can go Kyler Murray as your starting quarterback. But that is a long case scenario. Again, he is not going to be a priority pick. I think regardless where he goes, but I think the Cardinals especially is like he's not going to be a highly touted pick. I know people are going to say, oh, well, look at Baker Mayfield. Well, he had an extremely talented team, a young talented team around him. That's not the same in Arizona. But now let's move on to Dwayne Haskins. Because we're doing this mock draft through mock draft. But with the next quarterback taken in the draft, it's the New York Giants with Dwayne Haskins. And that seemed to be like a foregone conclusion months ago. Because even I said that in my mock draft that he was going to go there. Because it just sounds like that's where he's destined to go. And he's not going to be a starter. He's going to be, and I said this, that the New York Giants is the best place possible for a rookie quarterback. And the only reason I said that is because they're not going to be starting right away. And that is the best situation for any rookie quarterback. You're not starting right away. You're not thrown right into the fire right away. You're given opportunity to sit back and marinate. And marinating, it's because, I'm sorry, quarterbacks that start off right away, it's never a good start. Okay, 9 times out of 10, it's never a good start. Sometimes they come out of nowhere and really perform right away, and they're NFL ready right away. But if you really want a successful quarterback, you got to let him marinate for at least a season. And I use Patrick Mahomes over and over again as a perfect example, and he really is, because of the fact that he came off 1 year of rest, 1 year benched behind Alex Smith, and then he becomes a 50-touchdown, the third guy to do it ever, and a 5,000-yard passer. That just doesn't happen off of dumb luck. He had a talented offense. I'm not denying that one bit. He had an unbelievable offense. But he had to show a lot of off footwork and a lot of adapting to certain situations when the defense was giving him nothing. He had to make things work. He did some amazing things like the no-look passes and all that kind of stuff. So looking at this overall, I definitely see Dwayne Haskins as the best fit, as the best possible scenario for any quarterback, and it sounds like it's going to be his fit. So he's obviously not going to be drafted this year. He's going to just be on waivers, I think, the whole year because of the fact that, well, I guess because on the fact that if Eli Manning plays the whole season, if Eli Manning does, because I feel like now if Dwayne Haskins is their quarterback, he's going to be in risk of getting benched. His starting quarterback job is not fully guaranteed now because they have a talented quarterback behind him. But I'm not going to say he's going to be on super thin ice. He's going to be on thin ice, but he can have like three or four really bad games and where they're like, okay, we just got to have him stay for a little while longer while this kid is ready, till this kid is ready. And that's where I think it's going to lie. It's going to lie all on Eli Manning, what the situation is going to be for Dwayne Haskins. If he gets cut, if he gets benched 5 weeks in because how bad he's playing, that's a lot of trouble for Dwayne Haskins because he's thrown into the fire, in my opinion, too early. So with that being said, the next year, if it goes a whole year and he doesn't play, and he plays the next season, he starts the next season for the New York Giants, I'm seeing Dwayne Haskins as a potential next pass. I'm not saying he's going to get 50 touchdown passes, but I'm saying he's going to be productive up to the level of a Patrick Mahomes. He's going to have that potential factor there because of the fact that he has roughly the same kind of upbringing in the NFL that he had with, that Patrick Mahomes had with the Chiefs. So it's only fair to assume that he can do those kind of things as well. And I think that Dwayne Haskins has all the potential in the world. He's a quarterback from Ohio State. I saw a lot of good potential in him. So that's how I see this going. And the next quarterback taken in this draft, like I said, if Dwayne Haskins doesn't gets drafted this year by the Giants, do not pick him in the draft because he will not be starting. It's going to be Eli Manning until further notice. But if how bad Eli does in the first couple of weeks, keep an eye on your waiver wire just in case you might want to pick up Dwayne Haskins, just in case your backup quarterback isn't to your liking. And, you know, Dwayne Haskins might be a proper backup where you could play him in your bye week for your other quarterback because he might be getting a start sooner rather than later, in theory. And then we go to the next quarterback that's going to be drafted in this Matt Miller mock draft. It's going to be with the 10th pick. Oh, boy. With the 10th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select Drew Lock, quarterback, Missouri. But this was rumored since before the Senior Bowl in late January. So, I mean, it's a big-time possibility. But the thing is, I feel really bad for Drew Lock because if he does get drafted by John Elway, that is not a good sign for your future career because of the fact he does not have a good history of drafting quarterbacks. It's almost a curse. I hate to say that, but it's almost a curse being drafted by the Denver Broncos and drafted by John Elway if you're a quarterback. I mean, the list goes on. Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, Tim Tebow. I mean, Tebow had one miracle season, but then Skip Bayless just destroyed his career because he kept being so high on him. But regardless, not getting into that. But it just the list of quarterbacks selected by John Elway is not the best. And so if I'm Drew Lock, I'm like, okay, I can turn this around. I can be the one that does well. But then they drafted Joe Flacco, so you're going to marinate, so that might be a possibility. But again, it's the Broncos, it's John Elway. There's a bad vibe around it. There's a stench around him drafting quarterbacks. And I'm feeling really bad for Drew Lock if he gets drafted there. So if he does get if a quarterback does get drafted by John Elway, it doesn't have to be Drew Lock. I'm saying straight up right now, avoid him with the 10-foot pole. Because it's just bad. There's no good. It's just bad. And when I mean bad, I mean more along the lines of just like nothing good has come of it. So expect that trend to keep going, in a way, in theory, you know? Because you don't want to risk that. It's too risky. And then, of course, Daniel Jones, he sounds like he's going to the Patriots, but the Chargers might pick him up. Again, a guy that's going to be marinating behind a starting quarterback. So, honestly, if I had a pick between marinating behind either the Chargers or the Patriots and the Broncos, I would definitely pick either the Chargers or the Broncos. So whoever gets drafted after the Broncos, quarterback-wise, definitely consider him for next for the seasons when that quarterback ahead of them retires. But that should be our show for today. Thank you so much for joining us, and please tune us in next week as the free agency continues to be closer and closer. We'll have some more information for next season and who you should draft and who you should avoid. But as always, I'm Jeff Malinoff, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.